Today is Govardhan Puja. So I've been asked to speak something about Govardhan Puja, and I thought I would begin with a little further explanation of the question that Nardarishi asked yesterday about, are we to understand that these explanations by Jiva Goswami are fiction or non-fiction? I'm going to expand on that. Those of you that are brave and patient can read carefully Sri Brahma Samhita, and I can't remember if it's text 4 or 5, where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains the process by which the unmanifest pastimes of Krishna can be experienced. So let's frame this topic here. In the beginning verses, 2 and 3, after the invocation, Brahma Samhita presents Goloka, or even more specifically, Gokula. Gokula meaning Krishna's abode here. Goloka meaning the same, non-different, but just so for differentiation purposes, in Vaikuntha region, that's Goloka, this one is Gokula. And it's a little difficult, unless you have a good dictionary and a lot of patience. But I'll summarize. It speaks of a hexagonal region. What's a hexagon? Something with six sides. Geometric, six sides. So like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. A way to make that is two triangles inverted, one with the point up, the other with the point down. In the Jewish tradition, called the Star of David. But the points of that six-pointed star makes a hexagon, according to Sri Brahma Samhita. Goloka, or Gokula, is in the shape of a hexagon. And in the center of the hexagon is Radha Krishna. That central portion is the abode of Radha Krishna. And on the six sides, there, the inscribed on that hexagon in a yantra or a mystical diagram, yantra means a machine, mystical diagram that depicts Goloka or Gokula, inscribed on the inner side is Gopal Mantra. And those of you that are Brahminically initiated, you know what that one is. It's mantra number 6 of our Gayatri mantras. Those of you that aren't, you can read it right in text 2, text 3. It's right there. It's printed. And that's the abode of Radha and Krishna, with names of Krishna, according to Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, and the Svaha indicates, Bhaktisiddhanta says, submission. Svaha. Different than when we do a yajna, it has a particular meaning when we do yajnas. In this mantra's case, it's submission unto Krishna, without more detail. And then surrounding that hexagon, there's petals. And the petals are the abodes of the gopis, immediately surrounding the abode of Radha and Krishna. And it goes further to describe where the petals connect with the hexagon, those are paths, pathways, where the gopis and the gopas and Radha and Krishna travel to perform their pastimes. Later on, like text 17, it describes those petals are tens of thousands. There's lots of gopis. But initially, just picture a hexagon at the center and petals. And then there's a perimeter area outside that lotus, that's the hexagon and the petals, and that's called Swetadweep. And Swetadweep is the abode of the Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. There's lots of things to say about those first several verses. But what I wanted to describe is, in Brahma Samhita, it's said that the pastimes of Krishna are of two types, prakat and aprakat. He's falling asleep, help him. Prakat means on the scheduled incarnations of Krishna, once in the day of Brahma, Krishna appears in Gokul and manifests his pastimes that are the same as in Goloka, and anyone, qualified, unqualified, go ahead and be Kamsa or be Kamsa's washerman or be Shishupal or, you know, be somebody that's like not at all a devotee. And they can also see. And then those pastimes are completed and they go on to some other universe and Krishna's Nitya Leela are continuing somewhere in some universe. That's his prakat. And then there's a prakat, which is of two kinds. For those of us, relative to those of us that are in this realm, Devidam, the pastimes in Goloka, we cannot see. Therefore, but they're eternally going on, so they're aprakat, lila. And in this realm, in Gokul, meaning the place where Krishna performed his manifest pastimes, those pastimes are eternally going on, but they're aprakat. We cannot see them. The ordinary person cannot see them. So prakat and aprakat, aprakat of two kinds. Goloka, Gokula, ordinary person cannot see either. Then he explains, this is because it's very important in answering Narada Rishi's question yesterday, but also understanding what Lord Brahma did and understanding what we're being given access to. There are two ways by which, even today, November 4th, 2013, one can see first and then even enter into Krishna's aprakat lila in Gokul. And what's explained there is there's preliminary and then advanced. Preliminary is mantra upasana. Mantra, we know the meaning. Upasana means worship. So this hexagon in which is inscribed the Gopal mantra, the yantra is a assisting feature. Apparently Lord Brahma used it. We don't have methodologies that Prabhupada ever encouraged us to do, to use yantras, but the mantra is inscribed there, and meditating upon a particular type of mantra, Jiva Goswami in his commentary in Brahma Samhita gives examples, and this Gopal mantra is one of them, where one can meditate upon a particular pastime of Krishna or a particular feature of Krishna, and one who so meditates can see the aprakat pastimes. Jiva Goswami says that that mantra upasana can be compared to a lake which is connected to a river, and by mantra upasana one may enter into the lake and then into the river, where continuous pastimes are being displayed, and not only one can see them, but one can enter into them. So that's a second carry. Besides mantra upasana is sva rasaki. And Jiva Goswami says in his commentary on Brahma Samhita so many 500 years ago, very few people can accomplish that. But there are persons who were capable during his time. And the Goswamis of Vrindavan were capable. So Narada, Rishi. It's not fiction. It's mantra upasana, svarasaki, experiencing Krishna's pastimes, and then writing literature that was what they experienced as they entered into Krishna's pastimes. That's what it is. So with Govardhan Puja, or the Govardhan Leela, we have certain descriptions found in Srimad Bhagavatam, which we take as authoritative because Vyasadeva heard from Shukadeva Goswami heard from Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva had his realizations and he passed it on to Shukadeva. And besides, Srimad Bhagavatam is actually eternal, and it was just manifest by Vyasadeva, and Shukadeva Goswami spoke it. So it's authoritative. Commonly, Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't question the authenticity of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, it's our ultimate pramana. And by the way, the Govardhan division of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust now has published, and it's available to buy and read, Gopi Pranadana's commentary on Tattva Sandarbha, the first of the six Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami. We, the GBC members, received a gift copy on the commitment that we'll read it and speak about it. But I've already read it prior to its being published because I had the manuscript from Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. But in that Pramana Khanda portion of Tattva Sandarbha, it establishes that Srimad Bhagavatam is the best of all Pramanas. It's like very elaborate, very elaborate. So as Srimad Bhagavatam is the best of all Pramanas, similarly, the Svarasaki realizations of Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they wrote literatures that were revelations of Krishna's pastimes, with details that we don't find in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not because it's fiction. It's what I just described. And here is one example. Again, published by the BBT is Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Brihat Bhagavatamrita is written by Sanatana Goswami, and it's describing a number of things, but just as far as Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan is concerned, there's a description, there's some very interesting descriptions of Krishna's departure from Vrindavan to Mathura, riding in the chariot of Akrura. And it's a very different description than we find. Well, there are elements to it that are very different. When there's this big delay, for example, there's a big delay of Mother Jasoda begging Nanda Maharaj, please don't let Krishna go. She had previously said, whatever you want, but then her heart was too much trouble. Please don't let him go. So there was this, Akura was trying to pacify Jasoda and convince Nanda Maharaj that they were having some elder discussion. So Krishna got off the chariot, went into a grove, and enjoyed pastimes with the gopis while they were having this thing amongst the adults. We don't find that in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then further, when they left, It describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that periodically Krishna would come back. Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But because of Yogamaya potency, the residents of Vrindavan forgot that Krishna had left. And then he would stay for some time, and then Akura would come and take him to Mathura, and they'd reenact the pastime again. And Krishna would go to Mathura, and he'd stay there for some time, and then he'd come back. It was like a rerun, with some variation. And the Yogamaya potency was such, according to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that they would forget. Or here's another one. Keshi. We have our description of Keshi, where Krishna killed Keshi at the end. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna tames Keshi, and he keeps him in a horse corral, and from time to time the cowherd boys would go and go for a horseback ride on the back of Keshi, and they had great fun. Not fiction, because there's diversity. You know, Prabhupada said, variety is the mother of enjoyment. And Krishna is the best of all enjoyers. So there's variety in his pastimes. Because I've been preparing for going to Vrindavan, there's many, many pastimes of Krishna taking tax, his Dan Leela. And it would happen again, and it would happen again, and it would happen again, and it would happen again. And the commentators say they would forget by the influence of Yogamaya, and they would just do it again and do it. So it's a particular flavor of loving exchange with some variety. Sometimes like this and sometimes like that. Just like at Govardhan Hill, as you leave Manasi Ganga and start going further down the east side of Govardhan Hill, one of the first places you come to is Dangati. And both Sanatana Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and Jiva Goswami, they separately wrote differing pastimes of Dangati, Leela. And they're very famous literatures. But it's not fiction. It's just varieties of Krishna exhibiting the pastime. So I'm explaining this because I'm going to say some things in relation to the Govardhan Leela that are not within the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, but they're within the pages of our acharyas who had such capacity to disclose Krishna's aprakat Leela that's eternally going on. And don't be surprised or wonder, wait a minute, what's Maharaj speaking about? I didn't read that in Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's the authority. So one has to be very careful, very careful, because there are so many other kinds of fictional, you know, Gramya Katha instead of Krishna Katha, you know, stories. But when there are things that are specifically confirmed in the writings of our Goswamis, as those literatures become progressively translated, then one can relish and appreciate and speak in an authoritative manner on those pastimes. Like what I described yesterday, the Damodar Leela, Gopal Champu by Jiva Goswami is the source. Jiva Goswami said this and that. So Jiva Goswami had such capacity. Swa rasaki, not ordinary. So Govardhan Leela. Depending upon time, because it's now already half an hour of the class gone, we may just get to the puja part and not necessarily the lifting of Govardhan Hill part. Let's see. So, at the beginning of the Govardhan Leela, The pastime that took place just prior was Krishna's blessing the wives of the brahmanas. And in that pastime, it's very nice. They had a very interesting relationship with Krishna, very intense parental affection because they were elder, but they spoke almost verbatim the same words that the gopis spoke when they came to meet Krishna in the dead of night when Krishna played upon his flute. Krishna said something to the effect that, I cannot satisfy you because, you know, you'll just have to be satisfied with your own devotion. Please go back and take care of the needs of your husbands. And they didn't want to go, like the gopis didn't want to go. But they didn't want to go, but they went because the rasa was not the same. And they returned back to their home and their husbands realized, wow, you're very qualified and we're not. That appreciation. So that was a morning pastime. And then midday, after lunch, because the cowherd boys had taken their meal from the gopis, because it was like an early meal, but they were hungry at an unusual time by Krishna's inducing that hunger. So they had their meal. And they were continuing along the side of Govardhan Hill. And in the area, on the eastern side of Govardhan, near what is now the town of Aniyur, the cowherd men were assembling a yajna for Indra. And I'd like to read what Krishna said to his father when he saw. Being omniscient, Super Soul, the Supreme Lord Krishna already understood the situation, yet he still humbly inquired from the elders, headed by his father Nanda Maharaj. Lord Krishna said, my dear father, kindly explain to me what is this great endeavor of yours all about? What is it meant to accomplish? If this is a ritual sacrifice, then for whose satisfaction is it intended? And by what means is it going to be executed? Please tell me about it, O Father. I have a great desire to know, and I am ready to hear in good faith. Certainly no secrets are to be kept by saintly persons who see all others as equal to themselves, who have no conception of mine or another's, and who do not consider who is a friend, who is an enemy, and who is neutral. One who is neutral may be avoided like an enemy, but a friend should be considered like one's own self. When people in this world perform activities, sometimes they understand what they are doing and sometimes they don't. Those who know what they are doing achieve success in their work, whereas ignorant people do not. Such being the case, this ritualistic endeavor of yours should be clearly explained to me. Is it a ceremony based on scriptural injunction, or is it simply a custom of ordinary society? Though Krishna's, he's just 7 years old, but he's speaking very adult-like, isn't he? And several elements. One is, if you don't know the purpose of something, but you do that something in a ritualistic way, you don't get the full benefit of that something. One should know, rather, the purpose behind the something and perform with the purpose in mind, like sankalpa or intention, like chanting. We're all chanting. What's the purpose behind? We can chant mechanically, but we don't get the full effect. You get certainly benefit, but not the full effect. So we need to know the intention and apply ourselves accordingly. Then another element is, Krishna is asking, is this family tradition or is it enjoined in the Vedas? It doesn't mean that things that are family tradition one neglects. But it's not as strong as enjoined in the Vedas. Enjoined in the Vedas is one must. So he wants to know the distinction between the two. And in case Nanda Maharaj is a little reluctant, oh, he's just a 7-year-old boy, I don't have to give a serious answer. He's giving reasons why he has to give him the real answer by these other messages at the beginning. So Nanda Maharaj says, the great Lord Indra is the controller of rain. The clouds are his personal representatives and they directly provide rainwater which gives happiness and sustenance to all creatures. Now, only we, my dear son, not only we, but also many other men worship him, the Lord and Master of the rain-giving clouds. We offer him grain and other paraphernalia of worship produced through his discharge in the form of rain. I'm thinking specifically again of this Temple of Heaven in Beijing. Because previously, long, long, long time, China was an agricultural country. Of course, most of the world was. Now it's an industrial country and out of control. But agriculture was very important and the rain was very important for agriculture, and offering grains and various paraphernalia to Indra was part of the culture, exactly as Nanda Maharaj is saying here. By accepting the remnants of sacrifice performed to Indra, people sustain their lives and accomplish the threefold aims of Dharma Artha Kama. Thus, Indra is the agent responsible for the fruitive success of industrious people. This is a religious principle based on scripture, and it shouldn't be rejected. That was what Nanda Maharaj said. So there's a beautiful painting where little Krishna and all the elders, and Krishna's giving it the opposite spin. In fact, very interestingly, Krishna speaks atheistic philosophy to his father. Did you know that? Krishna speaks atheistic philosophy to his father. One of the categories, there's six classical ones, and one of them is karma mimamsa, which goes something like this. There may be God, not God, it doesn't really matter. Because if there is God, he's subordinate to principles of karma. You do good karma, he has to give good karma. You do bad karma, he gives the result of your bad karma. So above him is the law of karma. So what one really needs to do is just do good work. You don't need to worship anyone. You need to do good work, because the law of karma, if there's Indra or not Indra or whatever, he's obliged. So rather than worshiping Indra, I say, we're not dependent upon Indra, we're dependent upon our good work, and we're dependent upon Govardhan Hill, because Govardhan Hill is supplying us the nice grasses for our cows and the water for our cows and so many things that we require for our household life in Braja, minerals and trees and shade and fuel and so many things, Govardhan Hill. So I request, my dear father, please consider, let us just worship Govardhan Hill. And the way to worship Govardhan Hill, all these piles of grain that you're going to offer to Indra, have all the village people prepare anukut, take them home, make cooked offerings, and we'll offer to Govardhan Hill. And then after making offering to Govardhan Hill, he had a whole plan. We'll do Govardhan Prakrama. We'll feed sumptuously the brahmanas, and the cows very, very nicely. And then after having our big festival of offering to Govardhan, we'll get all of our paraphernalia in bullock carts and circumambulate as one circumambulates a worshipable deity or Tulsi Devi or like that. Big festival. So one of the commentaries says, Nanda Maharaj had such affection for Krishna, he replied, "All right, my dear Nanda Nandana, we'll do half the way that you said and half the way that we were planning to do." And Krishna insisted, "No, the whole thing. We don't need to worship Indra." So Nanda Maharaj agreed because of affection for Krishna. They just want to please Krishna. And this is the way of the internal potency. Even if one acts in a way that's contrary to what appears to be Krishna's interest, it's actually inspired from within to fulfill Krishna's interest. Just as the beginning it was said, Krishna already knew, as super soul of everyone, he already knew the whole situation. But he was enacting a leela. Because there were, so the leela had multiple purposes. One of the characteristics of Krishna, 64 qualities of Krishna, is he's expert. Daksha. And part of that expertise is that with one thing he accomplishes many things. It's not multitasking. When you're supposed to be chanting, you're doing your homework, or planning your day, or doing your email or something while you're chanting japa. Not that. But by the same one thing, multiple things are accomplished. That's Krishna. So one of the things he wanted to accomplish was to curb the pride of Indra. And it's very important in understanding the character of Krishna, the quality of Krishna. He doesn't like pride in the hearts of his devotees. And sometimes, to curb the pride that's in the hearts of his devotees, he'll put the devotee into some difficulty. Only when he shows special mercy, he'll do that. And that's not everybody, but special cases, as he did with the gopis even, because they were feeling, oh, we're special. We're so fortunate. Here we are with Krishna in the dead of night enjoying rasa dance, and Krishna detected the pride in their hearts, so he just disappeared. Because Krishna doesn't like pride in the heart of his devotee. So he knew, being the omniscient Lord, that Indra has pride in his heart. So to curb the pride of Indra, he enacted this leela. That's one. And another was the residents of Vrindavan. Of course, Krishna likes to give the residents of Vrindavan an opportunity to experience intensified love through separation. But he also likes to give them intensified love through meeting. So during the course of Krishna's pastimes, there are different times of the day when different groups of the residents of Vrindavan would associate with Krishna, while others would be absent Krishna's association. Like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's such a beautiful narration. When Krishna gets up in the morning and Mother Jasoda bathes Krishna, feeds Krishna, dresses Krishna, and the cowherd boys are standing at the doorway saying, "Come on, let's go herd the cows." They want to be with Krishna. But she's very, very meticulously putting on Krishna's ankle ornaments and adjusting his garland and making sure his buffalo horn is tucked into his waist just right, and that he has his favorite flute, and he looks at Yasoda and says, "May I go now?" "Yes, yes, you may go now." So then, this very elaborate description. The cowherd boys are tooting their buffalo horns and blowing their bugles, and off they go as the sun is rising with all the cows. And Mother Yasoda runs 10 steps and stops Krishna and adjusts his crown, looks at him, everything is nice, okay. And then another few steps, and she stops him and puts some more samosas in his lunchbox. And then Krishna says, I have to go, Mother. So then she starts to go. And then she runs out and tells Balaram, make sure that Krishna is safe. You watch out for him all day long because Krishna is mischievous and he needs your protection. Yes, Mother. Krishna says again, we have to go now. And like that, five or six of those episodes. And finally, Krishna puts his foot down and says, we really have to go now. And he leaves. And Mother Jasoda is standing there like a statue with unblinking eyes, watching Krishna go into the forest. And she stands and watches until she can't distinguish the cows and the cowherd boys anymore. She can just see the dust raised by their hooves. And she stands there, absorbed in thought of Krishna. Nanda Maharaj also, because the pain of separation is too much. And the cowherd boys are there, very happy, and the cows are very happy, and the forest animals and birds and trees and everything becomes fully enlivened because they're with Krishna. And then the end of the day comes, and it's time for Krishna to go back to Nanda Maharaj's palace and take his bath and get newly dressed and take his meal. And the cows are in a devastated condition. And all night long they're just mooing. They can't sleep. They're waiting, anticipating meeting with Krishna again. And the cowherd boys same. Because they're completely attached to Krishna. But so the Leela is orchestrated in such a way that in a daily way, there's meeting and separation, meeting and separation, and meeting and separation. Reruns of variety of meeting and separation. So Krishna enacted this pastime of Govardhan Leela, lifting the hill of Govardhan, so that for 7 days and seven nights, all the residents of Vrindavan could see Krishna unbroken. And it's like a crescendo of all the rasas at once publicly being displayed. The grand festival. And another was Krishna was showing his opulence of Bhagavan, although the residents of Vrindavan were unable to understand his opulence. They thought something else. Nanda Maharaj is holding the hill. Lota Baba was thinking he was holding the hill, and so on. So there's all of these are very nicely described in our Nectar Devotion and also these commentaries by our acharyas. And another purpose is to teach the world of the very special position of Govardhan Hill. Because without this pastime, one might take Govardhan Hill as something ordinary, like, you know, a hill. But Krishna wanted the world to know Govardhan Hill is not ordinary. Govardhan Hill is none different than him and is worshipable. So he enacted this pastime to bring that about. So Nanda Maharaj agreed to Krishna's proposal. Indra became extremely angry, and he prepared the clouds and the features of devastation to retaliate against this impudent little boy that was interfering with his worship because his heart was very proud. Because his heart was proud, he was unable to recognize who is his worshipable Lord and from whom he is receiving everything that he has. This is the nature of pride. When there's pride in the heart, for starters, one doesn't recognize where things come from. One takes credit for oneself, for whatever it is that's at one's disposal, which isn't true. It's just not true. Proof. Krishna can take anything that one has and everything that one has away in a flash. Whatever it is, it's gone. So how can we say it's ours? In illusion, one can say it's ours. And then not only it's mine and Krishna's out of the picture, but then feelings of I'm a big man because I have this. Pride in that which is Krishna's property, or as Prabhupada would say, one should not become puffed up with borrowed plumes. At least in, you know, some parts of the world, in Europe in particular, they wear hats that they pluck feathers from different birds and decorate their hats with borrowed plumes and go, you know, look at me with my borrowed plume. But it's a borrowed plume. You didn't create that plume. It was the bird given that ability by the Supreme Lord. So Krishna wanted to curb Indra's pride. And so the Anukut offering was prepared. And one of the nicest things, elements of this pastime that I particularly like, don't jiggle your legs like that. Don't do that. Krishna, to convince, compellingly convince the residents of Vrindavan that when he said they should worship Govardhan Hill, he meant it. It wasn't just, you know, silly child talk. He manifested a form of Hari. So here's at least three forms of Krishna simultaneously. Krishna, in his Prakat Leela, 7-year-old boy, the hill of Govardhan, which is none different than Krishna, and Lord Hari. Huge, gigantic form of Hari. It is said in the, I believe it's the Padma Purana, when Govardhan Hill first manifest, do you know how tall it was in Satya Yuga? 16 miles high. I mean, think of is there a mountain anywhere? You know, a plane flying around and you'd run into the mountain because if it's 15 miles high, because they fly whatever it is, 5 miles. Anyway, but because of the curse of Palastya Muni, Govardhan was shrinking one mustard seed every day, so it was the right size for Krishna's pastimes. But huge Govardhan Hill was much bigger than today. And the form of Hari was even bigger. And they made the Anukut offering, and Lord Hari ate everything. And then he expressed that he was still hungry by saying in the local Braj language, Anior, Anior, I want more, I want more. So here's the residence, and Krishna had paid his obeisances, Dandavat obeisances before Lord Hari. And then all the residents of Braja also paid their obeisances to Lord Hari, and he ate everything. This huge Anukut. And they heard him say, after eating everything and Krishna offering obeisances to him, he wants more. So they were in anxiety. They had to go gather whatever other ingredients they could find. So they went to the storerooms and prepared more, and as much as they could find, they prepared and made another Anukut offering, and he ate everything. Just like that. And then again, he said, Anior, I want more. I want more. And they didn't know what to do because they had emptied their storerooms. They didn't have more. Now there's different versions. One was the Brahmanas. Another was Lord Balaram. He knew the answer. He said, just take a tulsi leaf and offer that to Krishna and he'll be satisfied. So they took a tulsi leaf, offered that to Krishna or Lord Hari, and he was satisfied. And the commentary says, therefore, whenever we make offerings to our deity, we should place tulsi leaf on each of the offerings. You don't boil tulsi with some soup or something like that. Don't boil tulsi, but you place on top of the offering and offer to your deity, or here on the temple. and Krishna is very pleased. Without the offering of Tulsi, it's not the same, not the same. So we do to please Krishna. And he was satisfied. And as Krishna had indicated, the cows had been sumptuously fed while all this cooking was going on. The brahmanas were sumptuously fed. And then comes the Govardhan Parikrama, the first one, led by Krishna himself, walking around Govardhan. Then came Samvartika and the inundation. And it's 6:22. So that's Govardhan Puja. Then came the lifting of Govardhan Hill. It wasn't just rain. No, here, in South India, during the rainy season, you get, of course, different years, it's different, but you get sometimes downpours of rain, torrential rain that causes flooding. But this was more than that, far more than that. It was said like not just heavy rain, but the rain came down like columns. Rivers of rain just pouring down, and big hailstones, and intense wind blowing everything in all directions, like hurricane, blowing everything in all directions. And it was Indra's wrath because he had been insulted by this little boy. I'll teach this little boy. His intention was destroying all the cows, the residents of Vrindavan, and Krishna. That was a bad move. Of course, it didn't work. But his intention was very bad. And it's said, when one is proud, one can do very hurtful things and think it's okay because of whatever it is that makes up one's pride. Narada analyzes this with Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. They were also proud. And long description of the consequence of pride in the heart of someone. They can do mean things and feel completely justified. Just ask them. So that was Indra's behavior and his mood. Very angry, wrathful. So the residents of Vrindavan, you know the Leela. Krishna, Krishna, please help. You're our protector. He's a 7-year-old boy. You're our protector. How old are you? How many years old? Say in Hindi. 5. 5? Okay. How old are you? Huh? 7. 11. Okay, somewhere in between you two. 7-year-old boy, you're our protector. Krishna, please help us. And he understood. So there's a section where it describes in the Bhagavatam, he was contemplating, I knew that Indra would do this. This is part of my pastime to curb his pride. Not only will I not make the offering to him, but to Govardhan Hill instead. But his fury, his greatest power, isn't going to harm the residents in Vrindavan at all. So he lifted Govardhan Hill and invited the residents of Vrindavan to come under the hill and bring all of their animals and possessions and everything. One commentary says they hesitated. Is this safe? And he assured them, no, it's safe, please. And so they came. They brought all their animals and all their household paraphernalia and had a big festival of seeing Krishna nonstop for 7 days and 7 nights. And maybe someone that's going to speak about Govardhan Leela sometime later today can read in advance Ananda Vrindavan Champu, where there's a description of the conversations between and interactions between the residents of Vrindavan underneath Govardhan Hill during those 7 days. It's very nice. Very nice. very intimate exchanges. Just rasa. Just an opportunity for rasa. And then a description of what happened on, up on top of Govardhan Hill. Govardhan expanded by the touch. He was feeling such ecstasy that his body expanded to provide the means for all the residents of Vrindavan to fit under the hill. And as the thunderbolts of Indra were striking, he didn't feel anything. And the wind that was blowing like a cyclone or a tornado, not one leaf of the trees fell off, because they were also fully satisfied being in the hand, on the Govardhan Hill, that's within the hand of Krishna. And further description of the birds and the animals, they were just continuing to sing and carry on like nothing was happening. Krishna arranged for Sudarshan Chakra to go very, 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 very fast, because Sudarshan is heat. It's time, the wheel of time, but also when it moves very fast, it's very hot. Just like when Durvas Muni was being pursued by Sudarshan Chakra, he was experiencing intense heat. So with that heat, the water was evaporating, so they couldn't get flooded. At the end of the Leela, Sudarshan requested Krishna, I need some rest. So a place was provided, Chakratila, by the side of Manasi Ganga, where Sudarshan was given some resting facility. And in this way, the pride of Indra was checked. And the residents of Vrindavan had intimate exchanges with Krishna uninterruptedly. And Krishna was showing his divinity. Later there, when Krishna put the hill down, there's some description of the elders asking Nanda Maharaj, who is this boy? Is he, what is he? Who is he? Is he a great yogi? Is he a demigod? Is he Narayan himself? Who is he? And he refers to the conversation, now I understand what Gargamuni meant when he said at his name-giving ceremony of Krishna, this child will bear special potency like Lord Narayan. So he didn't say he was Lord Narayan, like Lord Narayan. Now I understand what he meant by his exhibiting this supreme power and strength. So it's 7:30. Time to end. To be continued during the rest of your time worshipping Govardhan Hill and hearing katha about Govardhan Leela. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki,
yes.
Govardhan Giridhari ki,
yes.
Gaur Pemanandi Haribol.